ప్రసన్నో భగవాన్ Benediction, asmakam, our ipsida, desired, jagata, of the universe, pate, O Lord, prasanna, satisfy, Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead, yesham, with whom, Varga, transcendental loving service, Guru, teacher, Gati, the ultimate goal of life. Translation, O Lord of the universe, you are the actual teacher of the science of devotional service. We are satisfied that your lordship is the ultimate goal of our lives, and we pray that you will be satisfied with us. That is our benediction. We do not desire anything other than your full satisfaction. Purport. In this verse, the words Apavarga Guru Gati are very significant. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate fact of the Absolute Truth. Pramedi Paramatma Bhagavan Iti Subyate. The Absolute Truth is realized in three features in personal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of God and Bhagavan. The word Apavarga means liberation. Apavarga means material existence. Material existence, one always works very hard but is ultimately baffled. When one dies and has to accept another body to work, one then dies and has to accept another body to work very hard again. This is a cycle of material existence. Apavarga means just the opposite. Instead of working hard like cats and dogs, one returns home back to Godhead. Liberation begins with merging into the Brahman effulgence of the Supreme Lord. This conception is held by the Jnani Sampradaya, philosophical speculators, but realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is higher. When a devotee understands that the Lord is satisfied, liberation or merging into the effulgence of the Lord is not very difficult. One has to approach the Supreme Personality of God as the impersonal Brahman effulgence, just as one has to approach the sun through the sunshine. It is not very difficult to merge into the impersonal effulgence of the Lord, Brahman, if one has satisfied the Supreme Personality of God. Text 31, dear Lord, we shall therefore pray for your benediction because you are the supreme beyond all transcendence and because there is no end to your opulences. Consequently, you are celebrated by the name Ananta. Wherefore, there was no need for the Brahmacharis to ask any benediction from the Supreme Lord because the devotees are simply satisfied by the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhruva Maharaj practiced severe austerities and penances to see the Supreme Lord, and his intention was to receive benediction from the Lord. He wanted to acquire the throne of his father or attain an even better position, but when he was actually in the presence of the Lord, he forgot everything. He said, my dear Lord, I do not wish to ask any benediction. This is the actual position of the devotee. The devotee simply wants to be in the presence of the Lord, either in this world or the next, and engage in his service. This is the ultimate goal and benediction of the devotees. The Lord asked the Brahmacharis to pray for some benediction, and they said, what kind of benediction should we pray for? The Lord is unlimited, and there are limited benedictions. Purport is that if one must ask for benediction, he must ask for unlimited benediction. The words tvat parata are very significant in this verse. The Supreme Personality of God is parata parat. The word para means transcendental beyond this material world. The impersonal Brahman impulses to be honest material world. This is called Param Padam. Adhu Kritraena Param Padam. Merging into the impersonal functions of the Lord is called Param Padam. But there is a higher transcendental position, which is the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pramedi Paramatmedi Bhagavan Iti Shabyate. This absolute truth is realized first as impersonal Brahman, then as Paramatma, and finally as Bhagavan. Thus, the personality of Godhead Bhagavan is Parata Parat, beyond Brahman and Paramatma realization. In this connection, Sri Jiva Goswami points out that Parata Parat means better than the best. The best is the spiritual world, and it is known as Brahman. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, is known as Parabrahman. Therefore, Parata Parat means fitted him for monumentalization. As will be explained in the next verses, the Prachetas plan to ask the Lord for something that has no limit. The Lord's pastime qualities, forms, and names are all unlimited. There's no limit to his name, forms, pastimes, creation, paraphernalia. The living entity cannot conceive of the unlimitedness of the unlimited. However, if living entities are engaged in hearing about the unlimited potencies of the Supreme Lord, they are factually connected directly to the unlimited. Such understanding of the unlimited becomes unlimited by hearing and chanting. Translation, O Lord of the universe, you are the actual teacher of the science of devotional service. We are satisfied that your Lordship is the goal of our lives, and we pray that you will be satisfied with us. That is our benediction. We do not desire anything other than your full satisfaction. Dear Lord, we shall therefore pray for your benediction, because you are the Supreme Being, all transcendence, and because there is no end to your opulences, consequently you are celebrated by the name Ananta. So, as we see, the Prachetas are devotees of the Lord, and they pray to him not for material benedictions, but simply that somehow or other the Lord is pleased. Generally the devotees will pray for some service to the Lord, and of course by that service they hope that the Lord will be pleased. To make the Lord happy or to please the Lord somehow is the ultimate goal of the devotee. So when we say Anya Abhilashita Shunya Jnana Karma Jnana Vrtam, that means it's devoid of other desires. The only desire is to somehow please the Lord. So that is what we call pure bhakti. And all other processes will be the mixed bhakti or something else. So the essence of bhakti is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. That is the goal of the devotee. Of course, we find that along with that, when the Lord is satisfied, the Lord gives everything to the devotee that is required for his service. So this, of course, also is satisfying to the devotee, because the Lord responds so that the devotee can do more for the Lord. So this is the prayer of persons practicing pure bhakti rather than mixed bhakti. And here, of course, it is said that the Supreme Lord is Appavarga Guru. Appavarga, of course, means in one sense liberation, free of the material miseries. But often in the Bhagavad, Appavarga refers to bhakti, because bhakti is the only pure process beyond the modes of material nature. So it is a liberating process, whereas jnana is sattva-gun and karma yoga is rajagun by nature. So therefore the word appavarga also refers to the process of bhakti. So the Lord is the teacher or guru of appavarga, which means bhakti or devotional service. And he is the ultimate goal. So since he is the teacher of bhakti, or a teacher of pure love of the Lord, he is able to bestow bhakti devotion to the devotees. So it is natural that the Prachetas should pray to the Supreme Lord in this way. Please give us the benediction that we can always please you, which means, please give us the benediction we can always perform bhakti to you. And this benediction, of course, the Lord can give, because he is Appavarga Guru. He is the instructor and the teacher of bhakti. He's very, very capable of doing this. Of course, in the next verse it says that the Lord is Ananta. So he has unlimited powers. He can give many things. But the devotees do not want, of course, material things, nor do they want liberation. rather they simply want to please the Supreme Lord. The Lord, however, by his unlimited nature, is able to bestow upon the devotees many extraordinary things. And as Prabhupada mentions, all of these things are unlimited. The Lord has unlimited names, unlimited qualities, unlimited pastimes. So these are the benedictions that the Lord gives. These are related to bhakti, which is the request of the devotee. The devotee wants to somehow please the Supreme Lord. So, the name, form, qualities of the Supreme Lord are assistance to giving pleasure to the Supreme Lord. If we want to please the Supreme Lord, we have to appreciate his particular form, qualities, and activities. And accordingly, we see what type of service is pleasurable to him. So the Lord allows for the devotee to perceive all of these things and experience all of these things. And in this way, the devotee has a realization of the Supreme Lord and understands his wonderful nature and qualities. And based on that, then of course he can do his service very nicely. So the bestowal of the realization of the name, form, qualities, and activities of the Lord is the mercy of the Lord, so that the devotees can engage themselves very nicely in pleasing the Lord. The result of that course is that if the devotees do service and they please the Lord, the pleasure of the Lord produces pleasure in the devotee. So as Lord Chaitanya described the bhakti lata, or the devotional creeper, when that devotional creeper grows and grows, it eventually goes to the spiritual world and achieves the feet of the Supreme Lord. And then the creeper develops flowers and fruit. And the devotee is able to taste the fruit. So this means that the devotee actually experiences great bliss. This is not the desire of the devotee. He's not cultivating the tree simply to get the fruit of bliss. He is cultivating bhakti to please the Lord. But when the Lord is pleased, then the devotee experiences bliss. So that is the fruit of the tree of creeper bhakti. The devotee develops an intense bliss because he is able to please the Supreme Lord. So this, of course, is the ultimate nature of the Supreme Lord. His nature is that of bliss. This also becomes the nature of the devotee in serving the Lord. He also develops pure bliss. But to get that bliss, the devotee does not desire that as the goal. He simply desires the process of bhakti, or somehow pleasing the Supreme Lord. So that is why here the Prachetas recognize the Supreme Lord as Appabharga Guru. He is the giver of bhakti and the teacher of bhakti. And therefore, this is what we request. We simply want to somehow satisfy the Lord. And when the Lord is satisfied, then one reaches perfection. And of course, one gets bliss also. The Prachetas here also address the Lord as the Lord of the universe, Jagatapate. This recognizes the Lord as the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of the material worlds. This, of course, is actually a lesser realization because this is the function of the Paramatma feature of the Lord. Form of Shiradaksha, Garbhadaksha, and Karnadaksha as Vishnu are involved simply in maintaining the material world. So these are functions of Paramatma. So this is a lesser type of realization or form of the Lord. But here they also address the Lord as Bhagavan. So this form of Bhagavan is the one whom they are attempting to please. In other words, the relationship with the Lord becomes very prominent, and one tries to please the Lord, then we have a form of Bhagavan. When we have a form of the Lord who is simply the creator and destroyer of the material world, we respect that Lord, but we don't necessarily try to please him. But when we try to please the Lord in various ways, then the object of that pleasure is Bhagavan, who has unlimited qualities. We can say, of course, that Paramatma has unlimited qualities, but in that particular form, he only manifests certain types of qualities. And what are the qualities? Qualities in relation to creating and destroying the material world and such things. So those qualities are not the personal sweet qualities of the Lord. They are functional qualities in relation to manifestation of the material world, just as Brahma creates and Shiva destroys, etc. So these are not the sweet qualities that Bhagavan manifests. So when they establish a devotional attitude towards the Lord and attempt to please him, then the object of their worship is Bhagavan, rather than Paramam or Brahman or whatever. So in this way, the Prachetas have realized the real goal. The real goal is not simply liberation of Brahman, nor is it Paramatma, but Bhagavan with all of his wonderful qualities and activities, etc. And he is the object of their attempts to please.
We also call Jagannath as the Lord of the universe, but we worship him as Bhagavan.
The literal meaning, of course, is quite limited. And then we have Jagannath, the deity Jagannath. So here we have another meaning to the word Jagannath, and that's a personal form. Though literally it has one meaning, we give another meaning. So often names and words may have several meanings, and therefore the names of the Lord can also function in both ways. We see this Vishnu's Sahasranam. Some of those names are very general, and some of them are more particular to the pastimes. Similarly, we have thousand names of Krishna or Govinda or Narasimha, whatever. So some of those names will appear to be more general and Paramatma-like, and some more specific in terms of describing the form and qualities of that particular form. Sometimes the names apply to both. If we only accept the name with the limited meaning, that is, Lord of the universe and nothing else, the Paramatma feature of the Lord, then this is the realization we get by that name, if we chant that name. If, however, we understand the name of the personal form, such as Jagannath and Puri, then we get different realizations. So according to what we conceive of through that meaning, then we get different results.
Maharaj, it says that when one renders devotional service, actually only in a liberated platform one can actually render devotional service. Mm-hmm. When one is liberated, mm-hmm. then only actually in reality one can render devotional service. Mm-hmm. So when we are worshipping the deities, initially only intellectually we can conceive that there is Supreme Lord.
No. Devotion starts after faith, and though, let's say, the 100% bhakti is only prema bhakti, we do have the process of sadhana bhakti and bhava bhakti. So Rupa Goswami particularly gives a definition that's all inclusive of sadhana, bhava, and prema. So we can't say that the sadhana is not bhakti, because he defines it in that particular way. Now, of course, the 100% pure bhakti is prema bhakti. But the others, we cannot say, are not bhakti at all. In other words, it's not that suddenly we get bhakti if we had no bhakti before. So it's a gradual manifestation in which the jiva has material desires, but it also has some devotional tendencies. So we can't say that's not bhakti, because it's not 100% filling up the jiva, that's all. So bhakti can be of various degrees, and therefore we label it differently. We call sadhana bhakti and bhava bhakti and then supreme bhakti. And even there, we call it all pure bhakti if our goal is unmixed with other processes and other goals. So even though we're not pure, because we may have an artist or whatever in sadhana, obviously, still it's called pure bhakti. So it's even called pure bhakti. Even though literally pure is only in prema level.
You said that it's based on the realization that one actually establishes a relationship with the Lord. When Lord reveals accordingly, one can establish a relationship. Mm-hmm. So when, for example, we look at the deities, maybe initially only intellectually we can see or we understand that this is Supreme Lord.
No, the basis is faith. Faith is not intellectual. Faith is an inclination of the soul. So that's the beginning of real bhakti. If it's only intellectual, then we have so many people like university professors also that can read the Bhagavatam and intellectually understand something, but they don't necessarily become devotees because they don't have any faith. And they don't practice because of that.
The true purpose back in the years for the pilgrimage was the neophytes worshipped the deities. This mentions that everyone is their own neophytes. Sometimes we see even the devotees are many years in the moment, they also worship.
Well, it's not necessarily so. It's the Goswamis worshipping deities also. They weren't neophytes. But one idea, of course, is the Kanishta Adhikari limits himself to the deity. In other words, the definition of a Kanishta Adhikari is he worships the deity in the temple. He does not appreciate the devotees. So I think that's the meaning we have to take. We can't say that the exalted devotees don't worship deities because we see that Dhruva worship the deity, whatever. And so many others. Amrish used deity worship as a main process for development, even though he was very exalted. So we can't say that they're all Kanishta Adhikaris because of that. And of course, worshipping the deity is one of the five principal means of bhakti.
Do you have any
suggestion
for very small in comparison with Lord? How can such a small jiva satisfy?
Well, that is the mercy of the Lord. Yes, the jiva is insignificant, but as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he is equal to everybody and doesn't really show favors, but if one shows devotion, then the Lord takes notice of that person. So bhakti attracts the Supreme Lord.
Krishna raises knowledge and British knowledge. You must get realization, one must have knowledge and you must have studied it, otherwise it doesn't come this.
Yeah,
it is mostly of the Lord.
But the basis of that study is actually the faith. So we have an inclination, we study, we get results, if we don't, then generally we're not going to get any results.
Well, the gopis, they did not study anything, but they got the, they understood the Lord and studied it.
Yeah, of course, it is all based on some sort of knowledge. They have not, of course, many are native siddhas anyway, and those who are sadhana siddhas have attained that position after many, many lifetimes of practice in which they must get Bhagavad Gyan. If they don't understand the difference between the Lord and the Jiva and matter, etc., then they can't really progress in bhakti at all. So they do need that knowledge. But the basis, of course, is that they have Shraddha first.
Thank you.